Now, in interpreting Matthew 24, there's a key word, and it is the word then. And it occurs 9 times in Matthew 24, and a further 9 times in Matthew 25. In other words, 18 times in the total discourse. And that key word then indicates a succession of events following one another, systematically recorded. And that's the nature of this talk of Jesus. It's very systematic, it's very thorough, it's very basic. So now, we're going to verse 9, bearing in mind now that we have entered the period of birth pangs. And we have one of the thens. Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I ask people, who is you? Grammatically, this is not correct, but you is us. Did you get that? Have you absorbed that fact? Then, at this point, they will deliver you Christians, followers of Jesus, up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10, and then, the next then, many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Many who? Many Christians, that's right. Why will they betray one another? To save their own lives. Now, this is not something that hasn't yet happened. It's been happening for years in China, the Soviet Union, and some Muslim nations. The fact that we haven't seen very much of it yet in this nation doesn't mean that it isn't already happening in many parts of the world. And I don't doubt that fairly soon it will begin to happen here. People pray for revival, and I do. But I want to tell you, in my opinion, when the church experiences revival, it will discover for the first time how much the world really hates the church. So when you pray for revival, bear that in mind. All right, we're going on. Verse 11, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Every what we call a cult is the product of a false prophet. And we cannot number the cults that have confronted us in recent years. And I have to say this regretfully, but I think I need to say it. Some of those false prophets are not outside the church, they are inside the church. I've studied the life of Jeremiah a little bit, and I'm impressed by the fact that at the close of the history of the people of Judah, apparently there was one true prophet, Jeremiah, and there were countless false prophets. This was an indication that the nation was on the verge of final judgment and disaster. And the soothing words of the false prophets who promised peace caused most of the people to ignore the true words of Jeremiah, who said, disaster is coming. And I have heard a lot of prophets promising everything except what's going to happen. And I have to say, if a man predicts something false, he is a false prophet. You can use nice language about it, but under the law of Moses, he would have been put to death. There'd be some fewer people today if that law applied today. I said, I think, in the interview this morning, and I believe John said the same, any genuine prophet today who does not, anyone who is a genuine prophet today must emphasize the word repent. Because the condition of the world and the condition of the church absolutely demand repentance. You can speak entertaining words, you can come up with nice prophecies about people's future, but if there's no call for repentance, I question whether that person is a true prophet. All right, verse 12, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Many who? Christians. And the Greek word is agape. It's the word for Christian love. It's not talking about the love of the world. The love of many Christians will grow cold under pressure of what? Lawlessness. I have a little saying, lawlessness breeds lovelessness. There's so much lawlessness in our culture today that we tend to become hardened. We tend to say, well, we can't prevent it. What's the good? Why should I be concerned? I'll just look after myself. I'll care for myself. That's lovelessness. Would you agree that America today is under a siege of lawlessness? Yes. Listen, Ruth and I stayed just a month or so ago, less than that, in a hotel of a well-known American hotel chain in a major American city. And when we got to the hotel and came to our room, we found these 10 commandments for travelers in America today. And let me say, the nation was not New York, it was not Miami, it was not Los Angeles. These are the 10 commandments. I read these because I think they're sufficient indication of the atmosphere of lawlessness. Number one, verify who the person is before you open the door in your hotel room. If the person claims to be an employee, call the front desk to confirm if someone from their staff is supposed to have access to your room and for what purpose. Number two, use the main entrance to the hotel when returning to your room late in the evening. Look around and be observant before entering parking lots. Number three, whenever you are in your room, close the door securely and use all the locking devices provided. Number four, never display guest room keys in public or carelessly leave them on restaurant tables, at the swimming pool, or other places where someone can easily steal them. Number five, displaying large amounts of cash or expensive jewelry will draw unwanted attention to you and make you a target for burglars. Number six, as a precaution, don't invite strangers to your room. Number seven, place all valuables in the hotel's safe deposit box. Number eight, do not leave valuables in your vehicle. Number nine, be sure to check that all sliding glass doors or windows and all connecting room doors are locked. Number 10, if you suspect any subversive activity is going on, please report your observations to the management. To me, that is an eloquent commentary on the state of America today. And remember, that was a respectable hotel. The name would be known to everybody here. That's sufficient to me to indicate that we're living in a condition of uncontrollable lawlessness. And you know why? Because there are too many bad people. Law only works. Enforcement officers can only enforce the law when most of the people are good. But when most of the people are lawbreakers, policemen cannot enforce the law. The problem is not with the police, it's with the people. It's lawlessness.